Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
So wonderful to have Sister Reba back with us. She had surgery. She's back. She works in my office before the service and helps us in so many ways and helps with the food bank, so many things. Reba, we love you. We're so glad that you're recovered and you're back in Jesus' name. Luke chapter 5. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him and to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night, have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. You may be seated. You know, the Lord is a good God, really a good God. You know, sometimes you read in the paper about a priest that's gone astray. The Vatican has to deal with them. Sometimes you read about a Baptist preacher that's made a mistake and the Baptist convention deals with them, or an independent and the courts deal with them. But the truth is that most pastors set out to be good pastors. They go into the ministry not because of money. They go into the ministry because they feel like they've found something that other people need. And they want to share that. But there's lots of ways to share that, lots of ways. When I first came to San Antonio, I met a pastor, and he was a genuine Christian, and he loved the Lord. And his motivation was as pure as could be. We got to know each other very well, and he never could understand this church or my ministry. The last time I ever saw him, he walked in this building, it wasn't finished yet, and he said, Brother Steve, I've been praying for you. This building is so big, I'm worried about you. He said, you'll never fill it up. You'll never pay it off. And he looked at me and he said, I don't need to worry about you, do I? I said, not a bit, sir. I'm on God's schedule and God's taking care of me. I saw him one day and he said, pray for me. He said, I had church Wednesday night and nobody showed up. And I said, you mean you had a small crowd? He said, no. I said, nobody showed up. He had a Wednesday night service. He'd been here for years and years. Not one person came to his Wednesday night service. He was brokenhearted. It wasn't because he was not sincere. It was because he did not know how to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. He simply could not. His motive was well. It meant well. He meant well. He wanted to save people. But his presentation was so negative about God that nobody would come and hear him. Let me refresh your memory of 2 minutes ago. God is a good God all the time. The Lord is on your side. It would be difficult for me to, I suppose, just pick out the verses that are the greatest in the Bible that mean the most to me, but there are two or three that I use on a daily basis. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's a great verse. But if you put my commentary on it, it becomes even greater. As a man thinketh about God, so is he. The conclusion you come to about God, what kind of God rules the universe? What kind of a God created this whole thing that we call life? Some people believe he's a vindictive God. Some believe that he thrills at judgment, that he's a God that somehow carries a vengeance. That's not the God that I know. The God I know is a God, the Bible said, is love. He's a God of love. I believe that God loves me beyond comprehension. And so one of my favorite verses, when I build upon just, I'm not talking about preaching, just about my relationship with the Lord. God, you as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As you think about God. And then the next one I build on is what Jesus said. I quote it so many times, John 10 and 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly. John called himself, the writer of that verse, called himself the disciple whom Jesus loved. He would write again in another place, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. When you get the concept that I have of God, living for God becomes much easier. When you believe that as a man thinketh about God, so is his life. When you believe that God wants to give you life and it more abundantly, that God wants you to prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, it makes it much easier to follow the Lord. Love is a stronger motivation against failure than fear. There's a lot of people that try to serve God and they don't want to fail God, but their motivation is fear. If I fail God, he will judge me. The main character of the text that I've selected today is Peter. And Peter is a prime example of the love of God. How Jesus loved Peter. And yet Peter would fail him in the last days of Christ's ministry on the earth, curse and say, I don't know you. But Jesus loved him so much that he didn't cast him away. He made him the keynote speaker, the key address speaker on the birthday of the church in Acts chapter 2. God's love never quits. And I don't know what you've done in your life, but I can tell you this, that God has not given up on you. Because God knew you from your mother's womb, and the Lord is on your side, and he woos you every day with his love. Love is a stronger motivation against failure than fear. If you will understand the love of God, and you will never match God's love, it's impossible for us to equally love God as he does and reciprocate the degree of love. But if you will attempt to do that, you will find that failures become less and less in your life because you're motivated by love rather than fear. Because when love comes, it casts out fear. John the Baptist was a fearful preacher, but he said, I must decrease because Christ has come and he will increase. In other words, when love comes, fear has to diminish. And friend, that's where we walk with the Lord. As a little boy, I was raised in church and had tremendous fear of God. But somewhere that fear evolved into a wonderful love for God. And I realized that what John 10 and 10 says is a reality. There's a real enemy, but my enemy is not God. Jesus is the one that has life to give me and abundance to give me, and he does it every day. He causes me to prosper and to be in health, even as my soul prospers. If you get sick and you believe it's the judgment of God, it's impossible to pray the prayer of faith to get healed. You have to realize that sickness is not an instrument of God against his church, but it's an instrument of the evil one against the people that are in the habits of the earth. And so when you get sick, you can say, because God loves me, I'm going to rise up and be healed because the Lord is on my side. I've said all that to set this up. Not only does God want you to have life, he wants you to have an abundance of life. And so in this little story, Jesus comes walking along. He sees boats there. The morning of the fishing is ended. He sees an empty boat there. He recognizes it as Peter's boat. Peter doesn't really know who Jesus is yet. But Jesus said to him, I want to use your boat. I want to tell you today, ladies and gentlemen, that Jesus really has a design on your boat. And to trust God means that you will trust God with your boat. That you will know that anything God takes, he gives back. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions of dollars I've given in my lifetime to the Lord in tithe and offering, but I can promise you he didn't keep it. He sent it back, and he sent it back multiplied. I was so blessed this week. Pastoring is a wonderful experience, but I was blessed beyond measure this week by two people in this congregation. One is here right now, and one is watching by social media. But these two people, one of them came to me and said, Pastor, I want to thank you for being in my life. I've been coming to this church for many years, and everything you say, I take it home and try to do it. And Pastor, I want to tell you, our life is so blessed, and we've got so much money. And there's tears on their face as they shared this with me. That blessed me because that's what I'm here for. I'm not here to take your money. I'm here to get you saved, keep you saved and here to cause you to prosper. My will for you is the same as John said. I want you to prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. The other great blessing this year, this week, was from a lady that texted me, and she said, I want to thank God that in 1985, God directed us to Living Way Church. And so I have been in relationship with these people since 1985. They're going through a battle of cancer, and I talk to them several times every week by social media. They're watching right now, just home from the hospital, believing God for a miracle. And I want to tell you, we love you. I love you. I want to tell you, this pastor is praying for you, and we believe that God is going to help you beat cancer. So those were two great testimonies that understand what I am about as a pastor. And Jesus is just the same. Not only does he want to save you, ladies and gentlemen, but he wants to increase your harvest. Everybody say that with me. Increase my harvest. Jesus wants you to have abundance. And you have harvested something this week or you wouldn't even be alive. But God wants to increase that harvest. And so when he saw Peter standing there by an empty boat washing his nets, he said, let me use your boat. God is preparing. I've got a word for somebody. This is a word for somebody in this building and perhaps watching this week. God is preparing to use something that we have given up on to increase your harvest. You've already given up on it. You said, well, I failed at that. You have to realize that this was a key moment of Peter's life. He had failed. He was a professional fisherman, and he had totally failed. He had totally failed. And yet Jesus said, let me borrow your boat. Jesus Christ is asking you for the loan of your boat. 3 years later, after Peter had followed Christ, after Peter had denied Christ, after Peter had come back to Christ, oh, there's still a boat. He still owns that same boat. Jesus didn't keep his boat. He gave it back to you. You people that cannot trust the Lord to tithe, I can tell you, God won't keep your tithe. He'll send it back, multiplied many times. God won't keep your children if you'll give him to the Lord. He'll send them back sanctified and changed. When God borrows something from you, it will always come back better than he took it. And so he borrowed this boat because he said, Peter, you've given up on your harvest. But when this is all said and done, you're going to see that I have come not only to save you, but to increase your harvest. I don't care how big your life is or how small your life is, how good it is or how bad it is, the master of your life wants to increase your harvest. Number one, God is going to use something that you've given up on to increase your harvest. There was a little situation that I had given up on as far as the church would say was concerned. And a couple of years pastored, and I opened an envelope about 10 days ago, and there it was, $20,000 that I thought was gone. I gave up on it, but God had been working on it for almost 2 years, and there was $20,000 with a note from the lawyer that said, deposit this quickly. They'd held it by mistake. But God said, I'm not going to let the devil hold yours by purpose or mistake. I'm going to bring it back. And so there's some people in this building that have failed in certain things, but God said, you might have given up on it. But he said, everything that you do, I'm going to cause to be blessed, and I'm going to cause your increase. Number two, God is going to use a past failure in your life to give us an abundant harvest. The Bible said he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. You might have failed, but God said that failure is going to be turned into a tremendous victory. I was preaching many years ago in Colorado, and there I preached a little sermon called The Master of the Ministry of the Empty Nets. And it was simply about love what you're doing. Don't judge it by the success you see. If you know you're in the will of God, love doing it. And I got a letter after that camp meeting from a lady that was there. Her husband pastored in Washington, and he had pastored about 10 years in Washington, and the only building that they could afford was a two-car garage. They'd been in a two-car garage for several years, and they had almost no people coming to the church. But she told her husband, said, I want you to listen to this tape that Steve Fender preached in Colorado. And I was simply telling him, if God called you, don't worry about the increase. Just be happy in what you're doing, because the increase belongs to the Lord. And so she said he listened to the tape. It changed his entire attitude. He was going to resign when I got home after these many years of trying to found a church in this city. But said when he listened to that tape, he said, I'm never giving in. I'm never quitting. I'm never resigning this church. She wrote me another letter 6 months later. She said when he listened to the tape, we had less than 5 people attending our service. 6 months later, we've got over 200 simply because he changed in his mind. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, if you're sincere and God has called you, you might appear to have failed in some areas, but God will take that failure and it will be a tremendous harvest and a tremendous miracle in your life. Number 3, our miraculous harvest is to be the evidence of his performed word. If you could do it by yourself, God wouldn't get any glory. But you've tried and you've tried sincerely to do that. And you say, well, I guess that it's failed. No, you haven't failed. Denial and just postponement are two different things. God's still working on some things that you said, I guess I'm a failure. I know many things I feel like I've failed at, and then I just haven't really left the seed in the soil long enough because I walk out one day, and there it is. I've told you about some property we have 2 streets over the church bought, and it was just a mess when we got it, and we cleaned it all up and took out all the old septic tanks and trailers. It's just a mess. And then I went over there personally with a little instrument you can strap around your neck, and you turn the handle, and it throws seed out like this. It spins. And so I went over there, and I sowed some grass seed, and I'd go over there every day. I went over there. I must have went over there for 10 days straight, and that grass never did come up. And I said there was something wrong with the seed. There was something wrong with the way I did it. One day I drove down that road and there it was, solid green. It looked like somebody had a putting green out there. I just didn't quite understand that God was doing what he does. You say, well, I have failed. Not necessarily, because the Lord is on your side and God is willing to increase you, and your increase is yet to come. It's coming sooner than you think. You've given and stopped up, but the truth is that God is going to use your sowing of your seed in what seems like a failure to establish his word in your mind and in somebody else's eyes, that they can see that the word of God will not return void. The greatest struggle that God has in creation with his people is to get us to believe his word. His word will not return void. God will do exactly what he said he would do. Number 4, we must overcome our doubt to increase the harvest. Simon answered Jesus when he said, can I borrow your boat? And when he told him to cast out in the deep, he said, well, let me explain something. I am a master fisherman. That's how I've made a living for me and my family. I know fishing. I know this lake. This is not the first time I've been on this lake. All of those things were in his mind. How many of those he articulated, I don't know. But he said, Master, we've toiled all the night. Let me explain something to you. We came out when the sun was going down, and when the sun came up, we had absolutely nothing. But if you think we ought to go again, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down your net. We must overcome our doubt to increase the harvest. He was not the only fisherman on Lake Gennesaret that day. They were full of fishermen. They had all toiled. Fish just were not moving. There simply was not a fish to be caught in that lake at that night. Somebody said, well, we're all in the same boat. Oh, no, we're not. We're all on the same lake, but Jesus is in my boat. That makes my boat a whole lot different than every other fisherman on the lake. So Jesus Christ said, go ahead, cast out into the deep. He was the only one out of a crew of men that had gathered on the shore. Even his partners, which were the sons of Zebedee, John and James, they were in the other boat. Even they did not cast out, just Peter and probably Andrew with him was the only ones that cast out. Friend, God's going to cause you to do something that nobody else will do because you've got faith that nobody else has. If you're going to be a standout, you have to listen to the Lord. You have to crush your doubts and say, I believe the word of God more than I believe my feeling. That's my biggest struggle in life, Sister Gloria, is to believe the word of God more than my bank account, Believe the Word of God more than the pain. Believe the Word of God more than the disappointment. Believe the Word of God more than people around me. The Word of God will not return void. We must crush our doubt by our faith in His Word. We've toiled all the night, but nevertheless, at Thy Word, we will let down our net. We must be more obedient. We must be more than hearers, but rather obedient doers of His Word. The lady that blessed me so much that I was talked about how blessed her life was. She said something that's so important. She said, I listen to everything you preach and everything you teach, and then I take it home and we do it. I bring it to my husband and we do it. It's not enough to hear the Word of God. You've got to step out on that Word of God and say, I am going to be obedient. If we're going to have a lifetime of harvest, we must learn to share our harvest. That's number 7. They beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship. That would be James and John, the sons of Zebedee, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Oh, God wants to open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing you can't receive. Why would the God that is so exacting pour you out more than you can receive? He intends for you to share it with other people. God wants you to have more than your family needs, your kids need, your spouse needs. He wants you to have enough for your neighbor. Remember when the lamb was being eaten for the Passover? He said, if the lamb is too big for your house, share it with the folks next door. It will save them. Friend, if you're going to be blessed beyond abundance to overflow, you're going to have to become a giver and a share of what God does. My cup does overflow. And finally, the Bible said they were astonished. He was astonished, and they that were with Him at the draught of fish. We must stay amazed at His grace and astonished at His blessing. We cannot be grateful for that which we feel entitled to. You know, this is a wonderful country. I don't care who says what. But now we have what we are calling entitlements. Now everything has become an entitlement. Well, that's an entitlement. That means I'm entitled to it. No, the truth is you're entitled to be protected by our army. You are entitled to live in this great country. God has given you that blessing. But you're not entitled to all kinds of payouts and checks and all kinds of things the government does. We need to quit calling them entitlements, because you can't be grateful for that which you feel entitled to. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, I never feel entitled to what God has done in my life. He has blessed me beyond measure, blessed me more than I would deserve. I heard a little story the other day that I saw it actually on television, just a great story. How many people know what Golden Chick is? It's not Church's Chicken. It's not KFC. It's called Golden Chick. Golden Chick is my favorite. They got one in Seguin. They got one in San Marcos. And I'll drive out of my way to go to Golden Chick. I like Golden Chick. I watched the story. It started with one man from San Marcos, Texas. But the number one franchisee, in other words, he owns more Golden Chicks than anybody else, is not a man from San Marcos, not even the guy that started the country. It's a Nigerian, a black man, that came to America. And he owns more of those. He is a multimillionaire, and he's only been in this country 20-some years. Ask him about this country. He won't talk about racism. He says America is a wonderful country. And not only that, while people are rioting in the streets and saying this is a racist country, he, a black man from Nigeria, has hired over 100 white people to work for him. That's the way you succeed. The only vengeance God really sanctions is success. And the only success that you're ever going to get is when you're increased from the Lord. But let me tell you this, ladies and gentlemen, that God not only wants to save you, He didn't save you and abandon you until you show up in heaven. Jesus saved you, and now He walks with you and He talks with you every day. Jesus is asking you, can I use your boat? And if you will say yes to the Lord, and once Jesus gets in your boat and uses it for His need was to stand in the boat a little offshore and teach to the multitude on the shore. That was Jesus' need. But after His need was complete, He said, now Go out a little farther, and I'm going to teach you how to fish. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ saved you from an awful hell. He plucked you like a brand from the burning because God never gave up on you. And God could talk about all of your failures, but he doesn't do that. That's the devil that does that to you. Satan knows your sin and calls you by it. But Jesus sees your sin but calls you by your name. He is a good God and he loves you and he's on your side. The Lord not only is going to save you from hell, not only going to take you to heaven, but the Lord that I know, this Lord that I know, the Lord that I know, you might think he's a bad God. You might think he's a tough God. You might think he's a taskmaster. But I tell you, he's my friend that's better than my brother or my sister or my mother and my daddy because he saved me. And every day of my life, he has been on my shoulder, whispering in my ear. And you know what he's talking about? He's talking about increase. Of his government, there is no end to its increase. God wants to bless you more every day of your life. And he will, if you will not be afraid to trust him with your boat. And if you will be obedient to his word, God will pick you up. It doesn't matter where you came from. It's not important about your gender or your race or your age. It's not important about where you work or about how much education you have. If you've got Jesus in your boat and you'll listen to his word, I can tell you that increase will become a part of your life every day. It is God's will to bless you coming in and going out. God is on your side. He will fight your battles. He will stymie the enemy that has come against you. When people come against you as your enemy, God will set up a table for you in their presence. That's the kind of God we serve. I am nobody's enemies, but praise God, some of my greatest enemies, that's people that hate me, have to watch the Lord bless me. I've had him to tell me that. They've walked through this building. They've come to our services and said, I don't see how God blesses you like he does. That's because they have a different opinion of me than God has. I'm the apple of God's eye. I am in the hollow of his hand because God knows this. He can depend on me. If God needs a boat, I'm the guy to see. If God needs a donkey to ride, I'm the guy to see. Whatever I've got, I'm going to give it to the Lord because I know it will not return void, but it will come back to me multiplied bigger and bigger than it ever went out. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got great faith for you, and that is you're going to be saved and sealed against that day. But not only that, you're going to be blessed on your job. You're going to be blessed in your family. You're going to be healed in your body. You're going to be joyous in your spirit. You're going to be an overcomer. You're going to have all the money you need. You're not going to have to fight debt and neglect and lack. God is on your side. Keep coming to this church. Keep linking arms with people in this church. Keep listening to this pulpit. Pastor Brandon blessed me so much this past Wednesday night. Listen to this pulpit. We're going to tell you how to get saved. We're going to tell you how to stay saved. But even beyond that, we're going to tell you how to be increased until your cup overfloweth. The Lord is on your side. It's miracle time. It's healing time. It's blessing time. It's increase time. It's harvest time. It's bigger harvest time. The Lord is in our boat, and he is saying to Living Way Church, launch out into the deep. I refuse to talk about my failures. Somebody brought something up to me. I was in another city, and they brought up something very negative. And they said, you remember? I said, I can't remember. I just can't recall. And they had all the sordid details of somebody they know that had messed up. I just can't recall it. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to ask God to give you the ability to forget and the ability to remember. The Lord is good all the time. When I remember his mercy, when I remember his grace, when I recall his blessing, it makes me want to shout. Not only does it want to make me shout, it makes me want to stand on the shoreline and say, Jesus, is there any chance I can get you to borrow my boat today? Instead of running from the Lord, I'm running to the Lord. Instead of pulling back, I'm giving to and saying, Lord, please use my boat. Of all the boats on Gennesaret shoreline, use my boat. Because I know when you get through using my boat, it will never, ever be the same. It will be full because everything God uses, he blesses, and God is using me. His victories are now great in my life, from victory to victory, and faith to faith, and joy to joy. The Lord is doing more in my life than he's ever done, and I give God the praise. His increase is great and great and great. And somebody in this building, that the devil said, you're a failure, the devil is a liar. I love what Brandon said this Wednesday night. You got to learn to doubt your doubt. Doubting your doubt is an exercise in faith. The devil said, you're a failure. The devil is a liar. God didn't say no. He said, yes, it's just going to be a day or two, and it's going to come to pass. The Lord is on your side. Get ready. God's getting ready to heal somebody's body. God's getting ready to increase somebody's bank account. God's getting ready to open somebody's business. God is getting ready to increase somebody and give somebody a raise. God is getting ready to bring your children back home. God is getting ready to make your marriage strong again. Hey, increase is on the way. Stand on your feet and lift your hands and say, God, please use my boat in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The principle. It's a principle. Red McCombs, our local billionaire in the San Antonio, he told me, he said, Steve, give me a subject and I got a story. And he does. He's the greatest storyteller in the world. I talked to him and asked him something one time. He said, Steve, he said, I misled you. All the things that happen to me in life are not successes. He said, I fail all the time. Listen to this. But he said, you know, I started out with a lot of guys, peers. He said, I'm the only billionaire in the group. And he said, I can tell you why. He said, their failures always turn to fear. He said, when they lose money, he said, they fail and they back up. He said, the difference between me and them is when I fail, he said, it turns to faith and I go bigger. He said, when they're pulling back, I'm plunging more. Ladies and gentlemen, I've adapted that spiritually. When I fail, I plunge forward. I don't fall back. The Lord is on my side. And it's been wonderful to see what God can do with my failures. What he can do with my failures. Peter's life was a history of failures that God turned into victories. He denied the faith. He cursed the Christ. But praise God, when he got through, he was a spokesman on the birthday of the church. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil is a liar. Those are not failures. Those are certainly the ingredients of miracles that God is putting together in your life. And you need to get up here in this altar right now and say, praise God, every one of my failures is going to become a victory. God's going to reach back in my past, things that I've given up on. God is going to resurrect them in Jesus' name.